As we begin this morning, we want to remember, and we want to especially remind the young people the significance of this day. Today is the 77th anniversary of the D-Day invasion at Normandy on five beaches there. Omaha and Utah and Gold and Sword and Juneau, that began the liberation of Europe that would end in victory less than a year later on May the 8th, 1945. It's fitting that this date falls within a week of our observance of Memorial Day. On June 6, 1944, on that day, 2,501 Americans gave their lives. Eventually, 9,387 Americans would die during the landing operations and the establishment of the beachhead. 9,387 Americans are buried in the American cemetery at Normandy. And I would just mention that one of the men who survived the landing at Omaha Beach, Army Medic Ray Lambert, just died recently. He lived here in Moore County at Seven Lakes, I believe. He died at the age of 100. That generation that some have called the greatest generation is very rapidly disappearing. And so it's good for us to remember, even though it has become something of a cliche, it's good for us to remember that the freedom we enjoy is not free. It was purchased, and it has been maintained with the blood of patriots over the years. And on days like this, we need to remember their sacrifice. We're turning in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, and we want to read it verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. He said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to teach us from your word today the marvelous message of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. This morning we're continuing with our study of Isaac and Rebekah and their twin sons, Esau and Jacob. 2 weeks ago we talked about the significance of Esau selling his birthright. We talked about how the birthright was a picture. We talked about how it presented the message of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the firstborn of every creature, the one who is the firstborn, the only begotten Son of God, that he gave, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And to prove that, the Lord Jesus is the one who is the firstborn from the dead, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and that in all things he might have preeminence. This is the significance and the message of the birthright. But as we saw in Genesis 25 in verse 33, Esau sold his birthright. Esau sold his birthright. In the light of that, and in the light of the message of the birthright, there's an interesting verse that I think has an application here. Turn over to the book of Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And look at verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. There's a passage in the New Testament that I believe is connected to this verse here in Proverbs. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in Matthew chapter 13, if you'll turn over there. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45, the Lord Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Buy the truth and sell it not. We want to connect these verses in Genesis, what Esau did, what we read in the book of Proverbs, and the verses that we've read here. We want to connect these verses this morning. And the connection between all of them is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the truth. His word is the truth. John 17 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus in his prayer to the Father said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the one pearl of great price. We're like this merchant man that the Lord mentions in verse 45. The word merchant means one on a journey. One on a journey. That's us, isn't it? We're born into this world and the journey begins. A journey that will carry us through life and that will end in the grave. And all along the way, we're like this merchant man. We're looking for goodly pearls. We're looking for things of value and beauty. We're looking for precious things that we desire. Things that are useful to us to help us to achieve all of the things that we want in life. So we're looking for these goodly pearls. But even if we find some along the way, we learn something. And that is that the goodly pearls don't satisfy. And then one day, we find the one pearl of great price. Not because we are seeking Him. but because He is seeking us. And we find the wonderful message of the gospel that the Lord Jesus sees us. I want you to think about this morning. Because it goes to the heart of the message of the love of God. The Lord Jesus sees us personally and individually, even though we hate Him. The natural man is enmity against God. Even though we will not have this man to reign over us, because we want our own will and our own way. Even though we crucified the Lord of glory, He sees us as one pearl of great price. And when He found us, and He found us because He is seeking for us, folks. He's seeking for us. The Lord Jesus said concerning Himself, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins." 1 John 4:19, "We love Him because He first loved us." Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, the just for the unjust." We read in 1 Peter 3:18, "that He might bring us to God." The first time that we see the Lord God after the fall, after Adam and Eve have rebelled and sinned against Him and plunged the human race into sin and death, Romans 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And it wasn't just the human race that felt the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." That verse is a statement of the second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy, the law of deterioration. How the whole creation that God made is moving from order to disorder because of sin. And what was God's response to the sin and rebellion of Adam and Eve? What was His response as He stood in the world that He had created in perfect order, but now had been marred by sin and plunged into deterioration and disorder? What was His response? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou?" Five times in the book of Isaiah. And it's no coincidence, because five in the Bible is the number of grace. Five times as Isaiah talks about the judgment of God that has come, the judgment of God that is going to come against Israel, we read five times, "For all this, His anger is not turned away." His anger is not turned away. God will by no means clear the guilty. He will never, ever excuse sin. But each time that we read those five words, "For all this, His anger is not turned away," the very next words that follow are these, "But His hand is stretched out still. But his hand is stretched out still. He is the seeking Savior. He's the seeking Savior. I can't help but think, not that I can add anything to it, but I can't help but think about how the Lord reveals things to His servants, to His teachers. Thinking about Mr. Creech's messages, misplaced fear. And then it's interesting how when you think about those things, and you think about the messages, it's then a wonderful part of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, how God confirms that because He bumps us into it. He'll continually bump us into the fact that He's the seeking Savior. Why would you be terrified of the seeking Savior? Why would you seek to hide from the seeking Savior? When He found us, when the Lord Jesus found us, when He had found one pearl of great price, what did He do? What did He do? Well, He went and sold all that He had. He went and sold all that He had. He left the glories of heaven. And the Lord Jesus gives us a glimpse into what that means. In John chapter 17 and verse 5, when He tells us that He left the glory which He had with the Father before the world was. We can't even begin to imagine what that was. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich." Jesus saith unto them, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, concerning the Lord Jesus, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." When the Lord Jesus found one pearl of great price, one. There's such a message in that word, one. It's the message of 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any, not one, should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, whenever you read the word thou, it's singular. It applies to one person. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou. The message is singular. The message is to each one. And thou shalt be saved. Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The last message to the last church of this age in Revelation 3 and verse 20. It's the message, if you think about it, it's the message of the first question that He asked in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. "Where art thou?" Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where art thou? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." The Lord said in Luke 15 and verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented." And when the Lord Jesus found one pearl of great price. And one pearl of great price is every man and woman who's ever lived. You are the one pearl of great price. And I am the one pearl of great price. Damn. And when the Lord Jesus found one pearl of great price, He bought it. He bought it. Twice. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 and 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23, Paul says, ye are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. And he tells us what that price is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He says, the church of God was purchased with His own blood. His own blood. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, ye were not bought with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that He had and bought it. And the price that He paid for one pearl was the great price of His precious blood. That's what makes you and I one pearl of great price. That's why the hymn writer penned these words. And I know just how much He loved me by the price He paid. And so here we are, seeking these goodly pearls and finding some from time to time along the way, but finding that they don't satisfy. And then one day, the seeking Savior, who's been there all along. It's another song. It's amazing how many of these old songs convey the message of the gospel. He was there all the time. He's been there all along, standing and knocking at the door of our heart. The seeking Savior finds us. And we see the one pearl of great price. Him. Doesn't matter how many goodly pearls of this world that we accumulate, there's only one pearl of great price. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what do? We sell all that we have. We sell all that we have. We forsake all. That's what Peter and James and John did in Luke chapter 5. They found the one pearl of great price. And the Bible tells us they forsook all and followed Him. Did they sell their ships and their boats and their nets? Can't prove it by chapter and verse, but I'd say they did. Because they found the one pearl of great price. That's what we do when the one pearl of great price finds us, and we find Him. We give up ourselves. We give up ourselves and whatever we know. We give up our life. The most precious thing that we have, we give it up. We hate our life because we see it as God sees it. We see all that we are before God, sinners who deserve nothing but death and hell forever. And we deny ourselves, we give up ourselves. We sell all that we are and all that we have, and we buy the truth. We buy the truth. We believe, that's what it means to buy in this context. We believe the message of the gospel, how that Christ died for my sins. Not for someone out there, me personally, you personally. He was buried and He rose again the third day that I might and you might have His life. And we forsake all and follow Him because He is the one pearl of great price. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's go back, if you will, to Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. But that's not all that we're to buy. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, something else that we're to buy. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. A few minutes ago at the start of the message, we said that the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. He's also wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24 tells us that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then chapter 1 and verse 30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Wisdom. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And not only is the Lord Jesus the truth, His Word is the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." What's doctrine? It's teaching. It's instruction. For reproof, for correction, and then we have the Word, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In Psalm 119 and verse 104, we read, "Through thy precepts," in the Psalm of the Bible, Psalm 119, we have all of these different words that refer to the Word of God. Precepts and judgments. "Through thy precepts, through thy word, I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." When we buy the truth, when we forsake, when we give up all that we are and all that we have, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we get wisdom because He is wisdom. And when we buy, when we believe His Word that is truth, then we get instruction, we get understanding, we get all things that pertain unto life and godliness, because in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him. Those words are so important. They are of such eternal weight. Buy the truth and sell it not. Those words take us right back to Esau. I'd like for you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Esau sold his birthright. To say it another way, Esau sold the truth for one morsel of meat. For one momentary satisfaction and gratification of the flesh. Esau sold the truth. And it cost him his soul. For what morsel? What scrap? What crumb are you selling the truth for this morning? Maybe the morsel of a job, some position, Maybe it's the morsel, the scrap of a house or a car or the crumb of some other possession that you want. Maybe you're selling the truth for the morsel, the momentary gratification of a relationship. But like Esau, you're selling the truth for one morsel of meat. One morsel of meat. One of the things that meat symbolizes in the Bible is personal desire. For what meat, for what personal desire are you selling the truth for this morning? Are you seeking the goodly pearls of this world that can never satisfy? When the one pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to seek you, and He found you. Before He formed you in the belly, He knew you, and He sold. He gave all that He had. He gave up the glories of heaven, and He bought you. He made your salvation possible by the shedding of His own precious blood. You are the one pearl of great price to Him. And He could be the one pearl of great price to you this morning. If you're willing to stop selling the truth, and right where you are, buy the truth. Give up. Forsake all that you are and all that you have. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And trust Him and Him alone to be your Savior. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your amazing Word. We thank You for showing us from Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between the great love wherewith the Lord Jesus loves us. We thank You as we reflect on the fact that He found us. He found us. And He sold all that He had. He left the glories of heaven to buy us with His own precious blood. We pray that that message would sink deep into our hearts today. For those who are lost, that it would break their hearts and cause them to turn to You in repentance and faith. And Father, if we know You, we pray that it might break our hearts in thanksgiving. To consider the question, why should You love us so? And consider the need in our life that we've been bought with a price. We've been delivered from so great a death that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.